Blog Talk Radio. This is Lori Smith. This is One Child Abuse Survivor to Another Restoration. I'm glad to be here. It is February the 11th, 2019, 10 o'clock p.m. here in Calgary, Alberta. And I haven't been doing a show a while back, but I missed a couple of my shows there. Sorry about that. And I actually had them scheduled and didn't cancel them and was planning on being there and missed them. And sorry for anybody who was there listening, waiting for the show. I try not to do that. And because, you know, that's terrible. I appreciate everybody who's taken the time to listen, and hopefully you're getting something out of these. I've been doing this for 10 years now. That's a long time to be talking on here. And, you know, I had no idea how long I'd be doing them, and I don't know how long I will continue to do them. But I find this helpful for me because it actually forces me to continue working on my healing journey, you know, instead of just putting it off. And so that's kind of why I keep doing them, because it does force me to stay in there and keep looking at things, keep working on things. And so hopefully they're helpful, like I say, you know, to somebody out there. And so, yeah, well, just, I think what I'll do is I'll try to do one every second week instead of every week, just because it's winter and I'm exhausted. I started a new job. My husband passed away 6 months ago now. We're into the 7th month now. So just 6 months of grieving and trying to deal with him not being here. And, you know, he's the love of my life, and I just loved him dearly. We just loved each other. And, you know, he basically died in my arms, you know, like he passed away. And just me and him, you know, it was a palliative home care. And so it was just me and him. It was just a hard time, and it's been a difficult 6 months. So I haven't really been doing very much work on my healing journey, just trying to cope and maintain my life, my adult life. You know, it's been difficult. Like, you know, anybody who's experienced any kind of loss really knows how hard it is. And not only that, but I started a different role at the same job that I'm at, but a different job at the same job. So I'm doing a different whole set of different stuff, and I'm actually working different hours and going in the office. And so that's also been, it's been really exciting. I've actually really enjoyed it. I actually had applied for that position over 4 years ago, and it came to me. So, you know, I couldn't turn it down. Like, there's no way. So I've been doing that as well, which is a whole new set of a whole new role, really, from what I was doing before. And so that, as well as this, the loss of my husband, is just sort of taking its toll. And it's midwinter, and I'm exhausted, and we've had this major cold front come through Alberta that's, like, causing it to drop down to, like, minus 40, you know, with the wind chill. And it's just, everything's frozen. It's just been difficult. So bear with me, and I'm going to try to get these shows done at least every other week. So I'm still going to try to do this for a while. I want to finish up this section. We were looking at boundaries from Hovoka. If you listen to the last show there, if you didn't catch it, we were talking about it's the section on boundaries from Hovoka that's help for adult victims of child abuse. H-A-V-O-C-A, Havoka.org. And so we're going to pick up where we left off. I don't want to repeat the last show. If you want to just go back and listen to that, you can. We're picking up with a new section. It's called, it's still looking at boundaries, personal boundaries. And this particular portion of it is setting boundaries. And so you just do a safety checklist. You know, if you're a survivor of abuse and you're not sure, you know, whether or not you'd be triggered by any of this information, you need to make sure that you're safe enough to be listening. So get that information from Havoka or from several different sites that I've seen out there, including the ASCA Adult Survivors of Child Abuse and More Center Program. They have a Survivor to Thriver workbook, and their first chapter, or one of the first chapters, I think, is safety first. So that's learning how to keep yourself safe and know whether you're safe enough to be listening to something like this. If you're not sure, it's better to turn the show off. Go get that information. Eventually read it and learn how to know whether you're safe enough. Because you don't want to go backward in your healing journey, you know, hurt yourself or hurt other people or whatever. Just make sure you're safe enough. And anybody else listening, you have to listen at your own discretion. You know, I'm talking about abuse. It's not a pleasant subject. And abuse and trauma and PTSD and, you know, the horrors that really, the aftermath of the abuse that people go through. So, you know, as an adult survivor, it's just, it can be very disturbing for a lot of people, I think, if you haven't dealt with it. So you want to make sure that you're okay to listen to something like this. And if you're not, just turn the show off. You won't be hurting my feelings at all. And we'll get right into this. This is called Setting Boundaries. This is Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse, Havoka.org. You can go to their website and just go to their Information for Survivors tab. And under that, you'll see Personal Boundaries. And then we're at the section called Setting Boundaries. That's where we're at. This is their information. I'm just reading it from their website and looking at it and, you know, from my point, what I know about boundaries and the work that I've done on boundaries and how I've sort of dealt with boundary work. I still have work to do in boundary work. Boundary issues are a major problem for most of the world. Most people don't have healthy boundaries, even if they weren't abused as children. people are notoriously bad for toxic boundaries. You know, and they may think that they're fine, but if they had to deal with themselves, they'd find out really quickly that they're not. There's only probably a small percentage of people on the planet that actually have healthy boundaries. It's a real problem. That's why people don't get along, right? That's why people, do any number of things based on someone else's behavior. And boundaries are a real problem, especially for people who have been abused. So we're going to look right at this section here, and we'll just talk about it. They said here, the purpose of setting boundaries is to take care of ourselves. Being forced to learn how to set boundaries is a vital part of learning to own ourselves, of learning to respect ourselves, of learning to love ourselves. They said, if we never have to set a boundary, then we will never get in touch with who we really are. We'll never escape the enmeshment of codependence and learn to define ourselves as separate in a healthy way. And this person says, when I first encountered the concept of boundaries, I thought of them as lines that I would draw in the sand. And I thought that boundaries had to be rigid and final and somehow kind of fatal. And they said, some boundaries are rigid and need to be boundaries such as, quote unquote, it's not okay to hit me ever, quote unquote, it's not acceptable to call me certain names. It's not acceptable to cheat on me, these types of things, right? No one deserves to be treated abusively, and no one deserves to be lied to and betrayed. We all deserve to be treated with respect and dignity. If we do not respect ourselves, if we do not start awakening to our right to be treated with respect and dignity and our responsibility in creating that in our lives, then we will be more comfortable being involved with people who abuse us than with people who treat us in loving ways. Often, if we do not respect ourselves, we will end up exhibiting abusive behavior towards people who do not abuse us. On some level, in our codependence, we are more comfortable with being abused because it's what we have always known than being treated in a loving way. So they're kind of just repeating some of their stuff here. They said, learning to set boundaries is vital to learning to love ourselves and to communicating to others that we have worth. And so that's kind of interesting. That's just the beginning part of this, and it's quite a lengthy article. We'll just talk about this part of it, I guess. This is just it. these boundaries, I mean, I didn't even know what boundaries were until I started looking into this, you know, when I started my healing journey, had no idea. And I didn't realize that a lot of the self-sabotaging stuff that I was doing was all due to unhealthy boundaries. And it wasn't all necessarily my fault. The issue is, you know, I mean, because sometimes it was just somebody else's abusive behavior towards me that would cause me to either, whatever, quit a job, leave a relationship. And that's okay. They go on to talk about that. You know, we have to decide what we're going to allow in our life and what we're not. But, I mean, I would just, instead of trying to fix a situation, especially in a work relation type, you know, boss, employee type situation, I would just leave and quit the job without even trying to get my needs met. It's kind of like, well, if I have to get my needs met, then I have to leave because I'm not going to get my needs met. Well, quite often we don't, especially in the workplace. It's not always going to work out that that whoever it is that we're working with is, if their behaviors towards us are somewhat toxic and abusive, it doesn't always work out that something will be done. And sometimes a person does have to just move on, you know what I mean? But it's always in our best interest to stand up for ourselves. And I think that's a huge problem for abuse survivors, to actually, without causing a big scene and causing ourselves to be fired or something, you know, to stand up for ourselves and let people know that, you know, yeah, no, I am a person too. I have a right to be treated with respect, with dignity, you know, with the same respect that you're given, that I should give you. I should get that back. And I'm getting better at it as I get older. It might be an age thing, you know, I don't know. And it could just be a lot to do with the work that I've been doing, you know, trying to work on my healing journey. But some of it's probably age as well. But I am getting a lot better at it, but I still have a ways to go, I think, you know, because my whole thing is, you know, I don't want to be abusive to somebody else, so then I don't like to be pushy back. And I feel like, well, if I've got to push to get, you know, my needs met, then I don't even want to bother with it. I'll just go find something else to do. That's just my attitude. It's kind of like, look, it's not worth it, man. It depends on what the situation is. Sometimes it's worth it, sometimes it's not. But these things are really tricky. They really are. They're very difficult. And like they're saying here, you know, we have to learn to love ourselves. That's a big issue. And I know for me, I mean, I can sit there and say after so many years on my healing journey now, since what, 2007, so 12 years, I really didn't do much work in it until 2009. So let's say 10 years. We'll just say 10 years. That's a long time. I still have these issues that I need to work on. And some of it, I don't know if it'll ever just really, you know what I mean? As far as the way I see myself, you know, like, I mean, I feel like I'm capable as an adult to do what I need to do to get things done. I feel like I'm worthy. I don't necessarily love myself all that much. You know what I mean? I don't walk around going, I love myself. I'm so great, you know? But I'm learning how to care for myself. And that's for me, a big deal. I'm learning to actually care enough about myself to take care of myself and to try to do the best that I can to look after myself and to make the right decisions for myself. You know what I mean? So I am working on it. I do not hate myself like I used to. I used to have a lot of self-loathing going on, especially in my teens. And I would say even preteens. That was a problem for me. Just, you know, self-loathing, hating life, hating myself. And it's a bad thing. So, you know, I carried that right on into, you know, my adult life. And I'm getting better at it now because I found joy. I've found that life is good. You know, I'm not being abused anymore. Thank God. I was married to a man for almost 24 years, and no abuse. You know, it was just a loving relationship. You know, nobody's perfect. You know, we had our share of spats, but the thing is we truly loved each other and helped each other out as much as we could all the time. You know, it was a really great relationship. So I know that I'm capable of these things. So that brings me some sense of worth, you know, like, yeah, I have to respect others, but I also need that same respect back, you know. You know, I have to be, you know, treat other people with dignity. So I want that same treatment. I want to be treated with dignity. And so there's so much, only so much that I'll allow in my life. I actually don't allow anybody to abuse me at all. As an adult, see, when I was growing up, I didn't have a choice. My abusers were my parents and one of my brothers. So I didn't have a choice. It's not like I could sit there and tell them, you know, it'd be great if you would stop hitting me and stop abusing me and stop sexually abusing me and, you know, start treating me right. It was never going to happen with those guys. My parents abused all of their children, not just me. And my brother was very mentally ill, and he was just a mess. He was psychologically messed up, mentally ill, really screwed up. The one who sexually abused me, and nobody ever took any accountability, responsibility for what they did in my family towards anybody. And so there's no reconciliation there, but, you know, all my abusers are passed on now, so that's great. And the rest of my family I don't have any contact with, and they go on to talk about that here later. That's a boundary issue that I set, and I set for my own peace of mind, because I knew that my abusive family was never going to change. And even the ones, my siblings who I didn't consider to be my abusers, were toxic to me. They were not going to ever be good to me. They were never going to say good things to me. They were never going to treat me right. I'm like, you're gone. Goodbye. Have a nice life. And I'm glad that I did that, because what it did was it set me apart from them, which then I don't have to live the drama and the trauma anymore coming from them. So then I could concentrate on what I need to do as an adult to live in this world and to actually have my own life apart from that. And, you know, if I just don't allow anybody to abuse me at all, whether it's a boss, a coworker, somebody just I happen to run into somewhere, I just don't tolerate it. That's my boundary, and it's a big one, and it's a solid boundary, you know. I just will not take abuse from people, because I'm not abusing people, so I'm not going to take any, you know what I mean? But it's not like as children, you know, being abused, that children can get help in that situation. I don't know, maybe some children have. You know, I don't know. Maybe there's been, you know, survivors of abuse would say differently. Like, maybe they did get their abusers to stop doing what they were doing. But in my case, I would just be beaten more or mistreated more if I said anything. So, you know, I couldn't say anything to my abusers about it, because then they'd really give it to me, whatever they were going to give me. So really bad. I never asked for any of it. They said some boundaries are rigid and need to be. Boundaries such as it's not okay to hit me ever, it's not acceptable to call me certain names, it's not acceptable to cheat on me, no one deserves to be treated abusively. So those are very rigid boundaries. And I can't, you know, that's where I'm at. I'm like, you know what, no, I'm not tolerating any more abusive behavior towards me, period. So, but then I'm not going to be abusive to other people. So I ask for the same thing back, right? So first it has to be me saying, you know, I'm not going to be abusive to other people. Well, I would never hit anybody anyway, unless I was trying to, like, self-defense or something. I'm just not a violent person. It's like, you know, you'd think that I would be a bit of a violent person growing up the way that I did, but I'm actually nonviolent. I don't like violence. I think it's wrong. I think it's unacceptable. And so it's just wrong that people would cause somebody to even have to act in self-defense. I just think it's incredibly wrong, and I hope those people actually burn in the pits of hell. That's what I hope. But anyway, so yeah, as far as my abusers go, I doubt it, because, you know, I don't know. But do I want all abusers to burn in the pits of hell? Kind of. Sorry, that's just me tonight. I'm like, you know, they cause people such pain and such trauma and such horror. You know, and then they act like it's perfectly okay. That's a sick individual, and I don't care, that's evil as far as I'm concerned. So they said, we all deserve to be treated with respect and dignity. So if we don't respect ourselves, you know, we have to respect ourselves and others. You know, we should expect that others would do the same for us, right? So I like what they have to say there. And let's see here. This is a pretty lengthy article. You can go check it out. So they said there's basically three parts to a boundary. The first two are setting the boundary. The third is what we will do to defend the boundary. So they said if you, that's the first one, or I will, or if you continue this behavior. So it says if you, a description of the behavior we find unacceptable, again, being as descriptive as possible. So they're saying, like, if you do this, right, if you abuse me, if you call me that name, or, you know, I mean, this is an issue where in any situation, whether it's a family member or, you know, a friend or, you know, neighbor, coworker, somebody you run into whose behavior is completely unacceptable, abusive, or toxic towards you, you know, we need to set boundaries. So that's where we would say, if you continue on in that behavior, you know what I mean? If you do this, if you abuse me, or if you, any action that we find unacceptable, they're saying. And then I will, that's a description of what action you will take to protect and take care of yourself in the event the other person violates the boundary. That's kind of like almost a threat. You know, the thing is it depends on the situation. Many times, especially people who are really suffering in domestic violence situations, you know, couples, you know, violence between couples or marriage, you know, where there's abuse. And people have to be really careful about that kind of stuff, because you could be killed if you started saying, if you do this, I'm going to do that. You know, if you do this, I'm calling the cops. Or if you hit me again, I'm leaving you. Many times people are running, you know, from abusive partners end up losing their lives because they've said that they would leave or that they would take action, right? This is only in a situation where you're safe enough to do that. For instance, like a job situation where, let's say you have a boss who's very abusive, you know, and toxic. You could sit down and call a meeting, you know, and maybe have a witness in there too, taking notes. And you could just say, look, you know, if you're going to treat me this way, then I'm going to file a complaint with your boss and I'm going to take action. You know what I mean? It's a little, as far as I'm concerned, that's pretty drastic, you know, because I've been in lots of situations where it didn't necessarily have to come to that. But as far as abuse goes, there's only so many situations you can do that in. It's not like I could tell my mom when I was growing up, well, if you do this, you know, if you bash me again with that rolling pin, I'm going to run away. She'd have been like, good, go. She didn't want me in the house anyway. So this only works for people in certain situations. This is not necessarily this is adult survivor issues. This is not like so much like a child could tell their parents, you know, if you hit me again, I'm going to tell my teacher. I did tell my mom that one time because my mom had rearranged my face and I went to school with those bruises and everything and pretty well busted face really. And I was like, what am I going to tell my teacher? You know, because I was pretty sure my teacher was going to be asking me what happened. And my mom was like, well, just tell her I hit you. Tell her I'm going to hit you again. So that was my mom's answer to that. It's like, this is really not necessarily information for people who are in the middle of abuse right now. This is kind of like for adult survivors later on in years, having issues with, you know, a partner, let's say, or a friend. Someone who's taking advantage, maybe somebody who's a bit abusive in some ways, and we find their behavior is unacceptable because it is, again, very toxic and abusive, and we shouldn't be allowing people to abuse us, right? Whether it's a boss, coworker, friend, like I'm saying. So this is more like, this is really adult survivor issue stuff. It's not like, well, what, is a boss going to hit you? Well, I would hope not, because you could sue them if you got proof. This is kind of really... I wouldn't say it's more for like telling somebody, well, if you hit me, it's that's not really where this is going. This is where they went with the article, but I've done a lot of looking at boundary work, and to me, this is more, it's more like let's say a boss kind of, in a way, just sort of runs you down all the time or makes you sort of look bad in front of other people, you know, downgrades your work or something, plays your work down, gives raises to other people and you're doing the same work and doesn't give a raise to you. This kind of stuff, just treating you worse for whatever reason in their mind. If they don't have a valid reason for it, it's basically toxic abusive behavior. Then you can do something about that. It's you know, I would hope a boss is not hitting somebody, you know what I mean, because that's, you know, that's like maybe third world country or something. Sorry, but you know, I mean, there are countries around the world where that stuff's probably going on, probably not too much in North America. But if a partner's doing something like well, like they said, cheating on you or lying to someone, you know, if you know, or threatening abuse or whatever, you know, we do have a right to stand up, unless our lives are in danger, and then you have to be careful, like I was saying. So this article, you know, you have to kind of read it, take what you want from it, leave the rest, because it doesn't apply in all situations, right? They said the next one is, so the first one's if you, the next one is I will, and then the next part of it is if you continue this behavior, this is a description of what steps you will take to protect the boundary that you've set. So if you continue this behavior, let's say I was talking to a coworker who was really abusive to me, and I could say, well, if you continue this behavior, I'm going to call a meeting with the boss and I'm going to report it or something like that, you know, and that way they know that you're, that they would know that I was serious and wasn't fooling around about their behavior. And that's something that we can do. That's very important. But, you know, would a partner who's being abused by their partner or their husband, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, you know, whatever, would they be able to say that to them if they're being physically abused and their lives are being threatened? I doubt it. They'd have to be very careful what they say around that partner because that abuser might kill them. And especially if they're threatening their life, you know, that's dangerous. So this stuff only really, you know, it's only usable in certain circumstances. They said here, one very drastic example in the case of someone who is just learning about boundaries and has been physically abused in the past would be, quote unquote, if you ever hit me, I will call the police and press charges and I will leave this relationship. If you continue to threaten me, I will get a restraining order and prepare to defend myself in whatever manner is necessary. Well, that works if you're pretty sure that the person you're talking to isn't going to kill you because you're threatening to call the police or, you know, or to leave. So many times, you know, this is the case, and people do end up losing their lives because they make these types of threats. And then the abusive partner just kills them because they're like, well, no, you're not leaving, and they end up killing them. You know, and it's a sad situation. This happens all the time. Just got to check the headlines out. So, well, we've only got about 2 minutes. They said, it's not always necessary or appropriate to share the third part of this formula with the other person when setting a boundary. The first two steps are the actual setting of the boundary, and the third part is something we need to know for ourselves so that we know what action we can take if the other person violates the boundary. So if we set a boundary and expect the other person to abide by it automatically, then we're setting ourselves up to be a victim of our expectation. So we'll look at the rest of this next, actually 2 weeks from now, because I'm going to do one every other week. So not this next week, but the following week, we'll pick up the rest of it. You can go to Havoca and get this information, Havoca, HAVOCA.org. Thanks for being here, everybody. And I had a little bit of trouble getting into my show, so I barely made it. So sorry about that. What do we want to do? We'll pick up the rest of that, like I said, in 2 weeks. We'll do a brainy quote. How about that? Brainy quotes allows you to use their quotes, and you just have to say where you got them. So I'm getting this from Brainy Quote. And how about this one? Nothing is impossible. The word itself says, I'm possible. That's from Audrey Hepburn, from Brainy Quote. Nothing is impossible. The word itself says, I'm possible. So that's awesome. That's all. I love those Brainy quotes. They're cool. Yeah, I would say just keep working on it. You know, don't give up on your healing journey. Like if you're struggling and you don't really know how you're going to get help and who, you know, who to talk to. just keep reaching out, keep looking for help. Go to NASCA, NAASCA.org. That's the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. And I'm the Alberta ambassador for NASCA. And there's all kinds of people there that can help you. And even if they can't help you, they can help you find resources. So they can help you find someone to help you. So you just keep looking for help. You don't ever give up. I'm telling you, because that's my victory, is the fact that I didn't give up and I didn't kill myself and I didn't just throw everything away and just let my abusers win this fight. No way. I'm going to have a good life, and I am having a good life, and I'm not being abused, and I take care of myself, and that's a slap in my abuser's face every single day that I wake up, and that's why I do this. So have a good night, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks. Take good care of yourself.